Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, today we're going to go deeper than just like the basics of online learning and, you know, really dive into how to make corporate training effective.
Yeah, especially for online and blended learning, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're assuming you're already familiar with, you know, what an LMS is and, you know, kind of the basics.
Right.
But we're going to give you some actionable tips and also some of like the why behind those tips.
Yes, exactly.
So we have two sources that might seem kind of unexpected, but stick with us. They're really relevant. One is called Assessing the Online Learner, and it's actually a book that focuses on higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is called Driven by Data 2.0.
And that one focuses on data-driven instruction in K-12 schools.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though these come from different contexts, the underlying principles of good instruction and assessment really translate surprisingly well to corporate training.
Yes, they do. And, you know, one of the most exciting things I think we're going to talk about is there's this surprisingly simple question that master teachers use to unlock deeper thinking in their students.
Oh, right.
And it's going to transform your training feedback.
Hmm, interesting.
So let's start with assessing the online learner. And they have this concept of competencies.
Okay.
You know, in the simplest terms, it's about defining what are the specific skills and knowledge that someone needs to demonstrate to be successful in their role.
Okay, so it's not just about, like, delivering information. It's about helping people develop competencies.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's
it. It really changes how you design and how you assess your training.
Right.
If you think about it in those terms.
Yeah.
And they have this fascinating example in the book. It's the New Mexico Teacher Competency Framework.
Okay.
And they break down skills like curriculum use from like a basic level to an expert level.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can apply that same idea to like your sales team or your customer service reps.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like instead of just saying, okay, everyone needs to know how to use our CRM, you would define what's as knowing how to use a CRM look like at different levels of expertise.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're kind of building expertise step by step.
Yeah, and it forces you to think about the specific behaviors and the actions that actually demonstrate that they've mastered that skill.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's jump to Driven by Data 2.0 and see what you know, K-12 has to teach us.
Okay.
You might think that data analysis is only for those huge, like, you know, big budget training initiatives.
Right.
But this book really emphasizes how powerful it can be for even small teams or individual coaching.
Yeah, it's about using data to understand where your learners are and then adapt your instruction to meet their needs.
Hmm. Okay, so it's about being responsive and making sure that, you know, no one's falling behind.
Exactly. And they call these interim assessments, which means, you know, checking in frequently to see if people are getting it.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be a big formal exam.
Right.
You know, it could be a quick quiz after a module, or you could do a role-playing scenario, or even just observe someone using a new skill on the job.
Oh, so it could even be informal observation.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So you're gathering those data points regularly, and that allows you to adjust.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that brings us to our first actionable tip.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Make the goal crystal clear.
Ooh, I like clarity.
Yeah, it's very important. So Driven by Data, you know, they highlight how the most successful schools start by pinpointing what is that end goal of their instruction.
Okay.
So whether it's like acing a standardized test or getting kids ready for college, like they design everything backwards from that outcome.
Hmm. So we need to do that in corporate training, too.
Yes, exactly.
Like, what does success actually look like?
Yeah, like, is it improved sales numbers? Is it better client communication?
Right.
Fewer safety incidents?
Yeah. So you really have to define that end goal right up front.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that really shapes everything else. You know, the content you include, the activities you design, how you measure impact. It all goes back to that goal.
Right. So, for example, let's say you're training your customer service team on a new software system.
Mm-hmm.
Success might not just be knowing how to navigate the software.
Right.
It might be about resolving customer issues more efficiently or boosting satisfaction ratings.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that kind of becomes your guiding star.
Yeah. And speaking of guiding stars, let's reveal that secret weapon we promised earlier.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Okay. It's a simple question that master teachers use to get students to think deeply.
Okay.
And the question is, what makes you say that?
Hmm. I'm picturing like a classroom, and instead of just saying wrong answer, the teacher asks that question to encourage the student to explain their reasoning.
Yes, exactly. It pushes them beyond those surface level answers.
Okay.
And it helps them understand the why behind behind their thinking.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And here's how you can apply this to your training programs.
Okay, let's hear it.
Instead of just marking an answer wrong on a quiz or something, you say, help me understand your thought process here.
Oh, wow. Okay, so suddenly it's not about being right or wrong. It's about creating a safe space to kind of uncover misunderstandings.
Exactly. And you build trust and rapport. You become more of a guide, and you're not just like an authority figure delivering information.
That's powerful.
It is, and it can make a world of difference in how people receive and internalize the training.
That's a really good point. Okay, now let's tackle something that's a bit of a tough love moment reteaching.
Okay.
I think it's tempting to just like pile on more content when someone doesn't get it.
Right, more is always better.
Yeah. But both of our sources today make a compelling case for reteaching instead.
Yes. And, you know, reteaching means going back and addressing those specific gaps in understanding.
Okay. So how would that look like in corporate training?
You could offer like a follow-up session for people who struggled with a certain module.
Okay.
Or you could provide personalized coaching or create additional resources like videos or job aids that target those weak areas.
Oh, okay. So it's about being flexible and, you know, adapting to what the data is telling you.
Exactly. Yeah. Meet them where they are.
This has already given me so much to think about.
I know, me too.
We're just getting started. In the next part, we're going to explore how these data-driven approaches can help you build a more engaging learning culture within your organization. So stay tuned.
Yes, definitely. Welcome back to our deep dive, you know, into making corporate training really stick.
Yeah. We've talked about some powerful strategies. Drawing inspiration from like K-12 and higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think let's shift gears and focus on something even more impactful, the overall learning culture in your organization.
Yeah, because you could have like the best training program in the world.
Right.
But if your company culture doesn't value learning and development.
Right.
It's going to fall flat.
Yeah. It's about, you know, creating an environment where people are excited to learn, you know,
yeah,
encouraged to try new things. Supported when they need help.
Assessing the online learner really emphasizes this learner-centered approach, you know, and how important that is to assessment and evaluation.
Okay.
And it's about shifting the focus, you know, from just like measuring what employees have absorbed.
Right.
To really understanding how are they learning.
Okay.
And providing feedback that helps them grow.
Yeah. It's like that old saying, give a man a sush and you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
Exactly.
We want to create a culture where people are empowered to, you know, be lifelong learners.
Couldn't agree more. And that brings us to another crucial point, collaboration.
Okay.
Both of our sources today, you know, highlight how important collaboration is in the learning process.
It makes sense when you think about it. You know, in a work environment, we rarely operate in isolation.
Right.
You know, we're constantly like interacting with colleagues, brainstorming ideas, working together to solve problems.
Yeah.
So why should our training be any different?
Exactly. So we can, you know, design training programs that incorporate collaborative elements.
Okay.
Whether it's group projects or peer feedback sessions or even just, you know, encouraging discussion and knowledge sharing among trainees.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that not only like deepens their understanding of the material, but it also helps them develop those essential teamwork and communication skills.
Exactly. And assessing the online learner, they offer some really practical tips, you know, for fostering collaboration in online learning environments.
Okay.
Things like using discussion boards effectively, incorporating peer review assignments, and even, you know, encouraging students to provide feedback to each other.
Oh, interesting.
These strategies can easily be adapted to your corporate training programs.
This reminds me of a team-based learning approach I saw a client using.
Mm-hmm.
They had groups like work on real-world case studies, present their solutions, and then give feedback to each other.
Yeah.
It was amazing to see, like, how engaged and motivated everyone was.
Yeah, that's a fantastic example. You know, it really highlights how collaboration can make learning more interactive, more relevant, and ultimately more effective.
Speaking of making things more effective, let's talk about feedback.
Okay.
And I don't just mean, like, correcting mistakes.
Right.
It's about providing, you know, guidance, encouragement, recognition.
Yes. Both of our sources today emphasize that, you know, the power of specific actionable feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to just say good job or that's wrong.
Right.
We need to give feedback that helps people understand, you know, what are they doing well?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they need to improve and how can they take concrete steps to get there?
And remember that magic question we talked about earlier?
Oh, yes.
What makes you say that?
It's such a simple but a powerful tool, you know, yeah. for giving feedback that really encourages reflection and deeper understanding.
Instead of just delivering like a judgment, you're inviting the learner into a dialogue.
Exactly.
Let's say someone on your sales team just like delivered a presentation that missed the mark. Instead of simply critiquing their delivery, you could ask, what made you decide to structure your presentation that way?
Yeah.
Or what data points did you consider when emphasizing, you know, these particular features?
Exactly. And that opens up a much richer conversation.
Right.
You're helping them to analyze their own performance,
mm.
identify areas for improvement, and ultimately become more effective presenters.
It's like you're handing them a flashlight to illuminate their own blind spots.
Yes.
You know, rather than just shining your flashlight on them.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So.
Okay.
Let's move on to another crucial element of a thriving learning culture. Transparency.
Transparency, you mean like being open about salary ranges?
Well, that's a different kind of transparency.
Okay.
But in the context of learning, you know, it's about being open and honest about learning goals, about progress, about areas for improvement.
Okay, I get it. But,
yeah,
you know, honesty can be tough sometimes, especially when you have to deliver feedback that might not be so flattering.
True, but driven by data 2.0, they actually use a really compelling analogy to illustrate this.
Okay.
They talk about, you know, how successful athletic coaches share data openly with their players,
mm-hmm.
even when it's not flattering.
Right.
They show them their stats.
Yeah.
They analyze their performance. They identify areas where they need to step up their game.
And I bet those athletes appreciate that honesty.
They do.
They know that the coach is invested in their success and they're more motivated to put in the effort.
Exactly. And we can apply that same principle to corporate training.
Okay.
Share data with your trainees.
Hmm.
Show them how they're progressing. Celebrate their wins and be honest about, you know, areas where they need to focus their efforts.
It creates a sense of ownership and accountability.
Exactly.
You know, they're not just passive recipients of information. They're active participants in their own development.
Now let's shift our focus to another key ingredient of a thriving learning culture. Support.
Support.
Support is all about creating an environment, you know, where people feel safe to ask questions.
Right. To experiment, to even make mistakes.
We all need a little help sometimes.
Yes, we do. But too often, there's this stigma around admitting you don't know something or asking for assistance.
Right. We need to create a culture where, you know, people feel comfortable raising their hand and saying, hey, I'm stuck.
Absolutely. Driven by Data 2.0 talks about, you know, the importance of providing differentiated support for learners.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning tailoring your approach to their individual needs.
Okay.
You know, some people might need more one-on-one coaching.
Right.
Others might thrive in group learning environments.
Yeah.
And still others might benefit from, you know, additional resources like videos or job aids.
So it's not like a one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly.
And it's not just about providing support when things go wrong.
Right.
It's also about celebrating successes, recognizing effort, and creating that sense of community among learners.
Imagine you've implemented a new training program on conflict resolution.
And, you know, one of your team members successfully applies those skills to de-escalate a tense situation with a client.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that, share their success story with the rest of the team.
Not only does it recognize their effort and achievement, but it also reinforces the value of the training.
Exactly.
And encourages others to apply what they've learned.
It's about making learning, you know, a shared experience rather than a solitary pursuit.
I like that.
You know, it's about creating a culture where people feel connected and supported and motivated to grow together.
And that brings us to the final part of our deep dive.
Yes.
We're going to explore how to turn, you know, these inspiring concepts
mm-hmm.
into concrete action steps that you can implement in your organization.
Yes, looking forward to it.
So stay with us. Welcome back to the deep dive. Mm-hmm. We've been on quite a journey, exploring how to make corporate training really stick, drawing inspiration from some unexpected places.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about focusing on competencies,
mm-hmm.
you know, using data effectively,
yeah.
and cultivating that vibrant learning culture.
Yeah, it's been great.
Now it's time to roll up our sleeves and get practical.
You got it. Let's do it.
So how do we actually make this happen? Where do we even begin?
Well, Driven by Data 2.0 really emphasizes this idea of having a clear roadmap for data-driven instruction.
Okay.
You know, it's not enough to just gather data.
Right.
We need to have a plan for what we're going to do with it.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's like having all the ingredients for a delicious meal, but no recipe.
Exactly.
You know, data without a plan is just data.
It is. We need to know, how are we going to analyze that data? How are we going to use it to actually inform our training? And most importantly, how are we going to hold ourselves accountable for making those changes?
Accountability. That's a key word right there.
It is.
You know, it's easy to get excited about new ideas.
Oh, yeah.
But actually implementing them and sticking with it, that's where the rubber meets the road.
That's it. And one practical tool that the book suggests is something called an implementation calendar. And it basically outlines, you know, those key dates for things like creating assessments, analyzing data, conducting those reteaching sessions, and even, you know, scheduling professional development for your training team.
So it's like a project plan for making your training more data driven.
Exactly.
And it keeps everyone on track and makes sure that, you know, these efforts don't just fall by the wayside. They actually become an integral part of the process.
Absolutely. And, you know, it ties in nicely with that emphasis on clarity of purpose from assessing the online learner.
Right.
That book, you know, reminds us to be really clear about the purpose of our assessments from the very beginning.
So asking ourselves questions like, what are we hoping to achieve with this training?
Exactly.
What evidence do we need to gather to know that we're hitting the mark?
That's it. And having those answers up front, you know, will really guide your entire training design.
Right.
And make your data analysis much more focused and meaningful.
And, you know, we can't forget about ongoing professional development for the training team itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Both of our sources today really highlight that, you know, we're all lifelong learners.
We are.
No matter what our role is.
That's right. We need to constantly sharpen our skills, stay up to date on the latest research, and be open to trying new approaches.
So it's not just about, you know, training our employees.
Right, right.
It's about creating a culture of continuous learning for everyone involved.
Yes.
In that process.
Driven by Data 2.0 even suggests, you know, building that professional development time into that implementation calendar we talked about.
Oh, that's interesting.
So maybe after each data analysis cycle, you have, you know, a dedicated time for the training team to come together.
Okay.
And reflect on, you know, what are some of the trends that we noticed? What were some of the challenges we encountered? And what are some new skills or knowledge that we might need to address those areas more effectively?
That's a great way to ensure that professional development isn't just a one-time event.
Exactly.
It becomes this, you know, ongoing part of that learning culture.
Now let's get even more granular.
Okay.
I'm ready. And talk about, you know, some specific strategies that you can use to implement these concepts.
Got it.
Remember those interim assessments from Driven by Data 2.0.
Of course, those frequent check-ins to see if people are, you know, truly grasping the material.
We can borrow that idea and weave those quick, informal assessments throughout our corporate training programs.
Oh, okay.
So instead of waiting until the very end to see if people got it.
Right.
We're providing opportunities for feedback and adjustment along the way.
Yeah. It could be something as simple as, you know, a quick poll after a presentation.
Yeah.
A short quiz, the end of an online module.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just asking people, you know, to share one key takeaway from the session.
The beauty of this is that it allows you to be so responsive to your trainees' needs.
Right.
You know, if you notice that a lot of people are struggling with a certain concept, you can adjust your approach right then and there.
Right. You can spend more time on it, provide more examples, mm-hmm. or even like switch gears entirely and try a different teaching strategy altogether.
Exactly. It's about being agile and flexible.
So we're bringing back the agility.
We are. And don't forget about that magic question.
Yes, the question that unlocks deeper thinking and sparks those meaningful dialogues.
Imagine you're training a group of managers on, you know, how to give effective feedback.
Okay.
You could present them with a scenario and ask, you know, how would you handle this?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just accepting their initial responses,
right.
you use that question to dig deeper.
Okay, so what makes you say that you would take that approach? What specific behaviors led you to that conclusion?
And those questions, you know, encourage them to analyze their own thinking and to really internalize the training material.
Yeah.
It's about moving beyond those surface level answers and getting to the heart of their understanding.
Now let's talk about a concept that might require a bit of a mindset shift for some of us reteaching.
Yes.
It's about embracing the fact that, you know, learning isn't always a smooth linear process.
It's not.
People will stumble along the way and that's okay.
Yeah, and both Driven by Data 2.0 and Assessing the Online Learner emphasize that reteaching isn't about punishment. Mm. It's about providing that targeted support to those who need it most.
It's about creating a culture where it's safe to admit you're struggling and to ask for help without feeling like you failed.
Exactly. And think about, you know, how we can bring this to life in our corporate training.
Yeah.
Maybe you offer an optional follow-up session for those who didn't quite grasp a key concept during the initial training.
Right.
Or you provide some individualized coaching to help someone apply those skills in a real-world setting.
It's all about being proactive and intentional about addressing those knowledge gaps.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the power of peer support.
Right.
Assessing the online learner.
Mm.
You know, they talk about the benefits of incorporating peer review and collaborative activities into online learning.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We did, and we can absolutely adapt that to our corporate training programs as well.
So creating opportunities for trainees to, you know, share their work with each other, provide constructive feedback, and learn from each other's experiences.
It's a win-win. It deepens their understanding, and it fosters that sense of community and support that we talked about.
I like it. And as we wrap up this deep dive, you know, we want to leave you with this one final provocative thought.
Mm-hmm.
Data-driven, instructional learner-centered assessment, and a thriving learning culture.
Yeah.
These aren't just trendy buzzwords.
They're not.
They're the keys to unlocking the full potential of your corporate training programs.
Couldn't agree more. It's about moving beyond that old school model of simply delivering information.
Right.
And embracing a more holistic, you know, engaging and ultimately effective approach to learning.
It's about empowering your employees to become active participants in their own development.
Yes.
And that's how you create a workforce that's not just trained, but truly transformed.
I love it.
So there you have it. We've explored some powerful strategies for making corporate training stick, you know, drawing inspiration from the worlds of education and data-driven instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you've gleaned some valuable insights today.
I hope so.
And are walking away with, you know, some actionable tips that you can implement in your organization.
That'd be great.
And remember, the journey of learning and development never truly ends.
It doesn't.
Keep experimenting. Keep iterating. Keep striving to make your training programs the best they can be.
I agree.
Until next time, keep diving deep.